I welcome you to another episode of Rested Life Podcast with Stanley. On this platform, we will share how you can act on the Word of God, walk in your inheritance, and join all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. You know, I read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want to share with you on the fact that the Lord God Almighty that we serve is a man of war. I will read the whole passage. I'll read verse 17, and it says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Hallelujah. In one passage, in one verse of, you know, in one verse of the scripture, we see the two mentions of the fact that the Lord God is with you. Oftentimes, the Lord being with us, we are unaware of it. We're not sensitive of the fact that the Lord God is with us. And so when we're besieged, or when we encounter situations and circumstances that we never planned for, we just melt away, forgetting, not knowing, not being sensitive of the fact that the Lord God is with us. So the Lord, two times is mentioned here. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You know, friends, life presents us with countless opportunities. Yes, I know that. But along with these opportunities, there are also lots of conflicts. Conflicts within, conflicts without. We live in a world that is going through tumultuous storms as I speak. And there are a lot of unanswered questions. Yet, in spite of all of this, we know that we are not alone. The Bible tells us and reassures us that we are not alone. That's why we face life's experiences, knowing that the Lord God is with us and that He's already won the victory on our behalf. Amen. You know, the armies of three nations came up against Judah. Judah never expected this. You know, one nation can come up against us and then we will fight. But for three nations to come up against us, that was a big deal for Judah. In your life and in my life, we experience situations where unprecedented issues arise. Unplanned, you know, circumstances show up. Things we never bargained for, things we never expected or, you know, or hoped for. The majority of the world woke up in 2020 to encounter a strange enemy called COVID-19. The world is still fighting till now. We are faced with situations like that. When we don't know what else to do, it comes upon a man, it comes upon us suddenly. It came upon Judah, they went to God, and you know what? In the midst of their prayer, God spoke. My prayer for you is that in the circumstances and the situations that you are in right now, the circumstances that will show up, may the Lord speak at your moment of crisis. May the Lord speak at a time when you're perplexed. May the Lord speak at a time when you're asking a question. And when He speaks, may you hear Him. The Lord that we serve is a man of war. He fights. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." God is a man of war. He is never and will never lose a war. As I read this passage in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3, I started asking myself a question. Said, why is the Lord referred to here as a man? Because God is not a man. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 24 that God is spirit. He does not have a physical body. He cannot come into a physical fight with any creature. And there's no one that can stand God in the bout because He is God. Yet, you know, we see scriptures and instances in the scripture where human terms and attributes are used to describe God. For instance, God's hands, God's ears, God's eyes, and, you know, and so on and so forth. This is known as anthropomorphism, using human attributes to describe the indescribable God. And the reason for this is because that the Holy Scripture or the Holy Spirit, I beg your pardon, inspired men to write the Bible. I'm sure you know that. But these men were still men. And so they used the human attributes that they were used to describe the indescribable God. And you see that in many places in the Bible. Anytime you see it, understand that that's the use of a literary term, anthropomorphism. But God is not a man. But the Bible describes him as a man of war. And so how does he fight? I see in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 3, and in about 261 mentions in the Old Testament scripture, the Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of hosts.
Wow!
And what is the word host? Is a Hebrew word translated Sabaoth, meaning armies, a reference to the angelic armies of heaven. So the Lord God that we serve is the Lord of hosts. He's the God of the angelic army. At his command, this angelic army are engaged in unseen battles on the behalf of the believers, even now as I speak. At his command, not at your command. The angels move at his command, engaging in unseen battles on behalf of the children of God. If you knew what battles that God, through his angels, was fighting for you at this time, or fought for you yesterday, or will fight for you tomorrow, wow, you will just melt away. There are enemies that have come against us. Many of them spiritual. We haven't seen them, but the Lord has just, wiped them away, melted them away, because he is the Lord of hosts. And he engages in war on behalf of his own children. Till today, the Lord, I realized something, that there is a sovereign discretion in how God chooses to fight for his own people. Because I've heard people pray, and I've heard them, in their gymnastics and their prayer, they prescribe to God what he should do to their enemies. Lord, make them blind. Lord, do this to them. Lord, kill them. As a matter of fact, a lot of people want their enemies to be totally dead. But I'm aware of this in the scripture, that there is a sovereign discretion in how God fights for his own people. God is sovereign, and he has the absolute discretion on how he may do, how he chooses to fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, child of God. As a matter of fact, the Lord is fighting for you right now. I've seen different places in the scripture how God fought for his own. I saw in Acts of the Apostles chapter 5 and verse 34, there was a plan to kill Peter and all of the apostles because they violated the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees of instruction of going to speak and to preach in the name of Jesus. So they were going to kill them. There was already a sentence to be passed on them. But while they had perfected the plans, the Lord raised the dissenting voice within the camp of those who had planned to kill them. So imagine, yesterday night, they had met and said, well, you know what, we're just going to kill them. And they all said yes. By the next morning, the Lord had come into their camp, thwarted their plans. The man called Gamaliel stood up and said, hey guys, we don't have to kill this guy. And because he was a respectable person, they listened to him. So that's God fighting for his own. God can use forces of nature to dislodge his enemies. You don't remember? Joshua prayed and said, sun stand still, moon stand still until I make a complete defeat of my enemies. And the Bible says the Lord honored his voice. And there has been no day like that, that the Lord listened to the voice of a man. Like the day he listened to the voice of Joshua. Using the forces of nature to dislodge his enemy. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 10 to 11, how hailstones were released from heaven and upon the Amorites, I beg your pardon, that in one day, on that day, more people were killed by hailstones than those who were killed by the sword. The Lord can terrify his enemies. The Lord caused the Syrian army to hear a noise in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 6. They heard a noise. And what happened? They scampered to safety. They ran. The Bible tells us of God using physical things to rout his enemy. 27,000 Aramean army killed by a collapsed city wall in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, 23 to 29. The Lord we serve is a man of war. There is sovereign discretion in how he chooses to fight. He can even choose to confuse the enemy and instigate them against, you know, against themselves. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 20. Before Saul and his son Jonathan, the Philistines were in total confusion. The Bible says, in their camp on that day, there was total confusion. And they just helped to kill themselves. That is God at war. You remember how God, you know, routed his, I mean, the enemy of the children of Israel in the belly of the Red Sea. And they saw God at war. God can also render the plot of the enemy null and void. David prayed in 2 Samuel chapter 15. He says, "Oh Lord God, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness." And the Bible says in chapter 17, the Lord turned the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Lord God is able to entrap the enemy in his own trap. He did that to Haman in Esther chapter 7 and verse 10. Guys, I can tell you this for a fact. God can choose to fight however he wishes to fight. There is sovereign discretion in how he chooses to fight. But remember this, he is a man of war. And so he's saying to you today, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. He says, do not fear, do not be dismayed, but you must go out tomorrow against your enemy. You must go out against your enemy. But when you go out, remember this, the Lord is with you. Until I come your way on another part of this teaching, stay blessed. Amen.